Let y'all know this is episode, what, 938?
I think so.
We forgot to say that. We've been doing this 938 times, and this is an exciting night. Are we going to introduce Kaylin Blanchard now?
We are. I'm so excited, and I'm going to let Frank introduce Kaylin, but he said one of the most wise things after he joined us for the briefing in Charleston last night and was there at the get-together afterwards, the event after the event. And he made the comment that, you know, people were asking how long he's been in the business, and he came to the conclusion that it's not the number of years that you're in Legal Shield. It's the number of exposures that gives you your age in Legal Shield. It was, and he'll talk to you about that tonight. I listened to that, and I thought, that was phenomenal. You know, it's not about how many years you've been here.
It's
how many exposures you've made. So.
Yeah. And we met this young man a while back, and he hadn't been with Legal Shield that long.
No.
But the depth of knowledge of the millenniums, and in particular this young man right here, Kaylin, he has really got a depth of knowledge. And they're reading all the books. I mentioned a book last night, and he pulled his phone out. He said, let me add that to the list. And it looked like he might have had 10 or 15 more books in front of the one that I mentioned him. Or maybe it wasn't quite that many, but they're going through a lot of education. So it really isn't the number of years. You know, it's the amount of water that goes under the bridge and the amount of presentations you've done.
Yeah.
And the amount of faces you've been in front of. And evidently, they've been in front of a lot of faces.
Yeah.
And we really enjoyed having him here last night. And he is our latest executive director. And I think he'll probably make bronze or silver this month if everything goes okay. That's what we're looking for. Kaylin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we'll do a little drum roll here. Yay!
Take it away, kiddo.
Yeah, it is really good to have you on the phone tonight, and we'd like to get the whole United States to know who you are and give you a little exposure here. So if you could, I know you got what you want to say, but before you do that, won't you tell everybody a little about your background? I mean, you're a young guy, and you're coming up, and you've done some stuff in your life, and maybe where you're from, and a little about your family and what you were doing for a living.
Sure. And
all right, take it away.
As always, it's such an honor to be on the call, and just so humbling to hear the kind words from people that I just truly look up to and try to model my life after. So thank you so much for that. You know, for everybody out there that doesn't know much about me, my background is in the service industry. You know, about my family, I'm the oldest of five. I was born right here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I lived in North Carolina and Wilmington area for a part of my life, and I spent the rest of my life in upstate New York till I wised up and left the cold. And so now I'm back down here in Myrtle Beach and loving every minute of it. You know, I went to college, played by the rules. I went to school for about 7 years, studied finance, studied philosophy. Turns out they don't pay you just to think really hard about money. That's what I thought might work, but it didn't work out. So I was still waiting tables. You know, till I was 29 years old, until I found this industry, and it gave me a path to victory. It provided hope to me in a way that I never had it. And obviously it didn't affect my income immediately, but, it affected my mindset, and it started to mold who I was. And there's so much truth to needing to become the person, that can handle the income that you're going to receive. And so it's just been a development process. And for the first time in my life, I had a little hope at the end of the tunnel because, you know, a six-figure student loan debt on a server salary, or lack thereof a salary, is very stressful. And, you know, at 30 years old now, I finally have the most hope I've ever had and the most income I've ever made in a month occurring right now. So it's just been amazing. You know, so that's a little bit about me. I'm actually really excited to share this this training with everyone tonight. You know, I'm going to keep it briefer than I did at the Millennial Boot Camp. However, I hope you guys have your pens ready, because if you've ever heard me train, I love to make it you know, easy to take notes while I train, because I want you to be able to use this stuff. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to use it. And, you know, I think it's Mr. Acoin that said he'll take a short pencil over a long memory. So you definitely want to write this stuff down. So first thing I want you to do is to write down two phrases here, portable book of business, and I want you to write down sales pipeline. And we're going to put these two phrases together are going to double your business in half the time. I'm going to make this so much easier for you than it feels right now. So when we say portable book of business, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a notebook, a physical notebook in which you have made a giant list. If you're a professional, you make a giant list. If you want to get paid like a professional, you make the biggest list you possibly can, including everyone you can ever think of that would know who you are, even people that you might never want to talk to again, ex-girlfriends, what have you. Big, big list. Bigger the list, the bigger the bank account. Okay? So when you're making this list, you're going to want to make it in two columns. You're going to want to have people that are local, and you're going to want to have people that are out of town. And we're going to come back to why that's relevant. I just want you to write it down so that you have an action step. Okay? And then number three I want you to write down is that you actually have to work the list. You have to actually work this portable book of business. So understand, you know, all the time I hear people say, hey, we're doing Legal Shield. You know, we turn it into a verb. We're doing Legal Shield. Yo, man, yeah, we're just a couple hours today. I was doing Legal Shield for 4 hours. Well, that's amazing. If you need to spend 4 hours on your business, it's probably because you're not seeing the big picture. Like there's so much information when we get started. I remember being completely overwhelmed by all the different steps and all the phrasings, and you just got to give yourself time to grow into it and see the big picture. So I'm going to try to accelerate that process right now of seeing the big picture and really boil this thing down to what it is that we actually do. When somebody says they're doing Legal Shield, what could they possibly be doing? So there's going to be five things for those of you that like to take the notes in order. Creating your pipeline. Number one, contacting people. Okay? This is one of the phases of our business. Again, these are the five things. You must be doing one of these five things, or you can't tell someone you're doing Legal Shield. Okay? You're contacting people from your list. That's why you have a list, so you know who to contact. Okay? When you contact someone, you can be inviting them. That's phase two. We're sending an invitation to somebody. And now when we're inviting people, just quick, I'm going to try because I have to be quick. I'm going to just give you a couple notes on each of these. So when we're inviting people, we want to get really excited, right? We're all on this call because we take our business serious and we're super excited about the value we get to bring both in the business opportunity and the protection that we're providing to people every day. So you need to get excited. You need to be in a hurry. You need to make someone feel good, and you need to ask them whatever you need to ask them. Now, if they're a local person, you're going to invite them to a meeting. You're going to invite them to a briefing. You're going to invite them to check out a tool in person. That's always your preferred method. If you can't get that person to agree to a meeting or a briefing, then try to get them to coffee. You know, try to get them to watch a video if you have to. So when you're inviting, remember, you're in a hurry. Right? You know why you're calling, whether it's to invite them to a video, to a briefing. You know what time the briefing is. And you're going to ask them when you can check back. So if you've sent a video to somebody, for instance, you're out of town list, you're not going to be meeting up with those people anytime soon, right? It's going to be an hour or more away. You might not be going there to meet with them, but they certainly might need what we have. And you don't want to wait to reach out to them. So you're going to make a 2-minute phone call. This needs to be less than 2 minutes. Hey, Chuck, over in, you know, wherever, Virginia, for me, outside of South Carolina. How are you doing, man? And, you know, catch up real quick. Be friendly, but get to the point. You know, hey, man, I'm in a real big hurry. I think I got another call coming in here in a minute, but I really wanted you to see this information. If I sent you a couple videos, would you check them out? Yeah, I'll check them out. Cool. When do you think you will have checked them out so I don't call you before you do? Okay, probably like 4. All right, man, so I'm going to call you at 4:30. Will you have checked out the videos by then? Yeah, I'll have checked them out. Great. Hang up the phone. We're done. We invited somebody. That takes 2 minutes. You could do that 10 times, spend 20 minutes every morning and get 10 exposures out and then go about your business, having exposed more people than most people do on any given day. Okay, so the third phase that we have of our pipeline is the presentation phase. And this is very important to make this distinction. We're talking about where your prospect is in your pipeline. They are being presented to by the tool, by the event, by the third party source, whatever it is. Your prospect is being presented to by someone other than you. Okay, and if you're at the point now where you have a team and you're growing and, you know, your business is flourishing and your team now starts to rely on you to be the third party, awesome. Then sometimes you're doing both phases of the presentation. Like sometimes I am hooking someone up with Benjamin Notini for a 3-way call. Other times I am actually the person doing the 3-way call. So understand there's a difference, but it's the presentation phase, and we do not present to our own people. We just don't do it. It doesn't work. Trust me. Okay. So number four, we're in the follow-up phase. This is the longest phase of business. This is where they say the fortune is in the follow-up. And it's because 48% of people never follow up. Salespeople never follow up. So they meet someone, they show them some information. They took the time to actually contact the person, show them information, and then they never check back in to see what they thought of the information. Almost half the time, And then couple that with the statistic that people typically decide between 5 and 7 exposures to something. That's a lot of opportunity for those of us that are willing to follow up. And one thing I want to add, because I said I want to keep it, you know, not as in-depth as the training over the weekend, the follow-up phase, one of the most important things that I want to share with you guys that's really helped me is to always have a time. Know the last time you spoke to somebody before you get off the phone with them, the next time you're going to speak with them. If it's, you know, they checked out the video, they had a few questions, you followed back up at 4 o'clock like you said you would, and they said, oh, you know what, I don't have time to talk right now. Okay, great. You don't just say, oh, no worries, we'll talk soon. Set that time. Hey, when's the next time you think you'll be available? Okay? It's very important, because if you don't do that in the follow-up phase, you start to become annoying, and you start to feel annoying because you haven't put that person on their own time. Let people do things on their own time. Just make sure you show up on time, okay? Because we can't make the decisions for them. And if you're stuffing your pipeline properly, you won't be so hungry to have that one person close, or any one person close. You're just going to become a master of stuffing your pipeline, and the closes are just going to start to happen because you're putting your work in up front and you're building a massive pipeline, okay? So after the follow-up phase, listen, I have followed up with people who have become associates in my team right now for 6 months before they started. Don't ever give up on somebody. You know, back off, be appropriate, be caring, be empathetic, understand people's situations and how important they are. Because more than likely you relate to somebody when they say, you know, I just don't have money, or I feel kind of stressed out right now. We don't need to force this opportunity on people, because you're going to have to force them to do the opportunity, and it's going to drain your energy. Okay, so closing, number 5. This is the last part of the pipeline, right? This is where people have been educated to the point of decision. And there's 2 ways you can get a decent close, in my opinion. You can do it yourself, because the person's been so educated that they're basically just ready to buy. There's no more questions. There's nothing left. You just need to ask them if they're ready to get started or ready to get protected. You can also use a third party to close, and they're going to do exactly the same thing, but you're going to build edification into that person. You're going to give this prospect a reason to listen and maybe get their final questions asked. And someone like an executive director like myself or Justin or anybody in your upline that's supportive, or in your downline that's competent, you can 100% have that person ask for the sale for you. And sometimes that's more comfortable. And rely on those people. You know, I work for my downline. That's how I look at it. I have the ability to live this lifestyle and be full time in this business. The people that are allowing me to do that are the part time people, and I want to help them succeed and get to where I am. And that's, you operate from that place. Your team will know it, and they'll always have your back in situations. So understand, this pipeline I just described is not a physical pipeline. You can't touch it. But it can certainly fall apart. And I think some of the more experienced people on this call here could definitely attest to that. This pipeline is made up of your daily discipline. It's made up of your focus. And in my opinion, it's made up of your organizational skills as well, because if you're speaking to enough people, it's very hard to think you're going to remember who you spoke to and what you spoke about and what phase of this pipeline those people are in. So this is the last little piece in closing. This is section 3, and this is how do we put all this together? So you're going to take your portable book of business, that's your list with local people and without a town people. You're going to take that list. You're going to start calling people on that list, right? You're going to contact those people. You're going to then invite those people to something. It's going to take you 2 minutes per invite. That's it. It's going to take you 2 minutes per invite. If you're taking longer than that, you're not winning, okay? So 2 minutes. You're going to, as people either pick up the phone or don't pick up the phone, they say they'll check out a video, they say they'll be at a briefing, you're going to make a note of that right next to their name in your book of business. Do you understand? It's a literal book of business. We always talk figuratively about it in this business, that we're building long-term residual book of business. How about we have a physical and portable book of business, so when it's time to do Legal Shield, we have something that is a roadmap to our goals right there in front of us. We know who to call next. We don't have to sit and think about, oh, should I call so-and-so? Who's next on the list? Smile and dial. Invite them out. It takes 2 minutes. You can get 20 exposures done in 40 minutes. So when people say they only had 2 exposures today, I think, man, you only spent 4 to 5 minutes on your business, and you expect to have a $10,000 a month income working 5 minutes? I mean, it's pretty good here, but I don't know that that's possible. And the last things I want to say, you know, if you follow this procedure, and my team has been doing this, and I have gotten, you know, a short sample size on people really, really engaging in this, but our team is buying in, and the simplicity of it is really making it easier to focus and easier to get more exposures in less time. So you really will double your business in half the time if you apply these things. But understand, nothing I just said is as important as personal development, is as important as, you know, actually taking massive action to get to whatever your goal is, or the necessary action to get whatever your goal is. So, you know, I hope everybody got great value out of that. I tried to keep it as quick as I can. I apologize if I ran over my time. But that's it. Just go out and take action and believe that you're going to get there, because you will. I promise you. Thank you so much, everybody.
Hey, that was amazing.
Caleb, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the whole training, but this was a good recap, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm taking notes madly here, and just the conciseness, the simplicity of what you explained, I hope everybody on the phone got it, and I hope everybody listens to this replay to make sure you've got it in your notes, and so you can start implementing it.
And I think, Doug, and even for you, Caleb, I just think you need to understand that, you know, out of your whole organization, you're going to end up with thousands of people. You only need 5 to 10 people to really get it, and they each teach 5 or 10 people, and you'll be at any kind of rank you want to. I mean, not everybody's going to go do this the way you're saying. We would hope that would happen. But quite frankly, we made our first million, what, with 3 people that really got it, that really went to work?
Going through a lot of numbers to get to that.
Going through a lot of numbers. But if we'd had that kind of training at that time, I think we'd have been there a lot faster.
Probably so.
Great job. I mean, it's a good mindset. It's a portable book of businesses.
I love it. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a good book review coming up too, right?
Yes, Kaylee, thank you so much. And again, compliments to you and Justin and Nick and all of you that spoke and trained at that event in Raleigh. I don't think I've ever heard so many comments about one event that I wasn't at.
No, I don't think I have either.
All raving about the quality of the training.
The material that came out of y'all's mouth was really good.
Yeah, and for seasoned associates like Joe Damron to say the things that he said about that training, the best he's ever been to, and he's been in the business longer than us, that's a huge compliment. I hope you guys
are down. I don't know if it was Joe Damron. Was it Joe Damron that said that? Or one of his people?
One of his people, maybe. John will come back on and let us know. But in any event, it was somebody who's been in
It was one of his people, one of the guys he had recruited.
I got you.
Yeah, and you said the same thing to me, Elizabeth, about it. You hadn't been to an event that good.
Yeah, we're so proud of you guys and gals. Okay, we're going to transition right here to the book review, because we're reading a fabulous book, The Seasons of Life by Jim Rohn. And
somebody's going to do the book review that a lot of people have heard of.
Yes, this gentleman you've heard of before. He has broken the company records. He and his partner, Nick Odom and Justin Peterson, actually beat every company record, reaching platinum in 5 months. And they just put on that incredible event in Raleigh. So, Justin, take it away. We want to know what you think about The Seasons of Life.
Yeah, let me know what Jim Durone taught you.
Well, Frank and Teresa, I'm just a little in shock right now. I'm not really quite sure if I can go through with this, because according to Kaylin, if the amount of time we've spent in Legal Shield equates to the amount of exposures we've made, then that means I'm not a millennial. So I don't know.
I love it.
You're just bragging now, boy.
Aging fast. Well, you're aging to the top.
Yeah, that was a good observation, though.
I was taking notes.
Your own.
All right, so, guys,
speak up a little bit,
Justin. Yeah, we can barely hear you. I think you're trying to hug your baby and do the call at the same time.
You nailed it. Okay, so the
book. I know you were. I know you got that baby in your arms. People don't know. He's got a brand new baby, him and his bride. So go right ahead.
Yep. So with the book of the month, you know, Jim Rohn is such a masterful speaker and author. You know, trying to sum this up was honestly kind of difficult, because the whole thing was just filled full of nuggets. I mean, literally, you could just flip the page, point to any part of it, read a sentence, and it's like a Jim Rohn one-liner. I wanted to say them all in his voice in my head as I was reading it, as you guys can probably hear in your voice, in your mind as well, how Jim Rohn speaks. The two chapters that I have, the first one is on your environment. The second one is on your attitudes. These are so perfect for a new associate, because the first one, talking about your environment, really speaks to the hurdle we have to go through whenever our friends give us grief about trying to, you know, advance our life and really level up. the first thing that I took note of to kind of give you guys like the spark note, so to speak, of these two chapters is Jim Rohn talks about how your past does not equal your future. What has already happened has happened. And so he says the greatest value of the past is how wisely we can invest in the future, and that let the past be a servant for making the future both more enjoyable and profitable. He talks about how, you know, our friends could be seen as poisonous to our lives. And he says none of us would voluntarily drink a glass of deadly poison if we knew what it was. Yet each of us has friends, relatives, and business associates who affect us, whose effect on us are just as deadly as that glass of poison. The difference is that our friends don't kill us instantly. And it's funny, and this is kind of ironic because we're talking about reading books. And as you know, from anybody who talks to you about how to advance your business, they'll say, you know, it's about the books you're reading. That's a big deal because it's in between your ears. It's the mindset. And one little thing from chapter two that he says is, you know, there are friends who will laugh at you for reading useful books. And yet there's pretty much no difference between somebody who can't read and somebody who's not willing to read. The results are both ignorance. And I love that line from Jim Rohn. And we get that a lot. You know, on the subject of friends, he says that, you know, one of the disappointments of life is that friends will abandon those of us who are trying to create a change in our life for the better. And yet those who remain behind, as in the ones who decide not to, for example, become an associate and work with us, they'll say things like, you know, she's forgotten about us now that she's living better. And the reality is that it's really those who accept mediocrity who choose to remain behind. It's not the person who's trying to advance their life who's the one who's leaving. You know, he says that friendships, of course, are valuable, but he says so is the human life, and it's foolish to fall short of your potential because we feared alienating a good friend. So really keep that in mind because, you know, I can think of one person in particular who started with me in February during my very first week in the business, was with me during my first ever Blitz and had so much potential. But because he had too big of a heart and was misunderstood as to how this all worked, he let his friends who didn't understand what he was doing hold him back because he said he didn't want to leave them behind. You know, the improvement of our personal circumstance means that we must learn to do what the failures are simply unwilling to do. The last piece on this chapter, and I'll quickly move on to the second chapter, which, frankly, guys, was just a couple pages. This book is so good, I really recommend it to anybody. He talks also about the difference between doing and undoing. Like, there's a lot of things that we've learned since we were born, and sometimes the first step in our learning process is learning to unlearn the things that are no longer valuable to us. I'll read this one quick excerpt from this second chapter where he talks about friends, and he says that, you know, being subjected to both new determination to succeed as well as those close to us whose words remind us of the unproductive past is like being on a mental elevator ride. We move ourselves upward with our thoughts and actions, but some thoughtless person keeps pushing the down button, bringing us back to where we mentally began. Our new confidence quickly gives way to old doubt, and our new actions are overcome by old fears, and finally we may return once more to that kind of thinking which puts people on their mental and financial knees. Having brought us back to the world from our world of dreams and ambition and accomplishments with their well-meant but destructive opinions, our friends celebrate by inviting us to Friday night parties, where once again we become active participants in the joke, sarcasm, and gossip of those content with their own mediocrity, having exchanged our dreams of a new life for the acceptance of old things. We make the quiet transition to never again plan, dream, explore, or achieve. So have that visual of a mental elevator going up and having the thoughtless person bringing you back down scare you into falling into the trap of mediocrity. And then lastly, guys, the chapter three, talking about our attitudes, he says that, to sum up five pages, basically the only limitation that we place on ourselves is our inability to easily recognize our unlimited nature. because he says that, you know, it's easy to be lazy. It's easy to not advance ourselves. It's easy to blame other people and not take responsibility. It's easy just to gossip instead of, you know, confront somebody who's speaking negative. So our limitation is our inability to recognize how unlimited our potential can be. And then he says too, you know, attitude really is everything. And this is the last thing I'll say about this book. Attitude is everything. He goes, even at this very moment in time, as you're hearing me read this out of the book, you know, your attitude is determined. Your attitude, like as you're listening to me, has already determined, you know, what you are and what you're taking from this. Your enthusiasm, intensity, your faith in yourself, your patience with yourself and others, and even the excitement about your future is a result of, you know, that's one single word, which is attitude. And so those are the words of Jim Rohn, and those are kind of that's my summary of these two chapters. And guys, I wholeheartedly endorse this book. If you're not reading all the books of the month, you're kind of falling behind. But this one in particular is easy to read. It's fun. And again, you can kind of flip to any page, point in the sentence, and it's a gold nugget. So back to you, Mr. and Mrs. Acoin.
All right. That was unbelievable. And Justin, see if you agree with this. I think there's a certain time in our lives when we no longer join environments, we create environments. And when you create your own environment, you know, by the people that you're around and the things that you're doing, that is your environment. And so, you know, you can choose who's going to be your friend. You can choose where you're going to live. You can choose where you're going to work. You can choose when you work, how you work. But you got to choose. You got to be the architect of that. So stop, you know, letting other people create your environment. You create your own environment. That's what you guys have done. The people you're around all day long is people like Jim Rohn, Les Brown, Brian Tracy, Mark Victor Hansen. And you spend more time with those people than you do anybody else, just listening and learning. So that is your environment.
That's right.
That's great job, Justin. That was terrific. And you're right. Jim Rohn, gosh, he's just one nugget after the other. And that book, as small as it is full of priceless, valuable points that he makes about life.
Right, and I want to make one announcement about the Friday night event here in Charleston coming up, right? The Christmas party.
Well, yeah, y'all can come. You can fly in from California. You're invited.
Anybody on the phone that's near Charleston, we have a Christmas party this Friday night.
Yes,
right?
On the Legalsville calendar.
Yeah.
Elizabeth and John are organizing it.
And John and Elizabeth's going to be here. Everybody's going to be here. Y'all are all welcome to come. Or
absolutely.
You've got somebody here, you know, just send them. We'll treat them right.
That's right. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to recognize what's been going on last week. And, team, this is exciting. Well, first we'll start with the top producers. Fourth place for last week and the entire team was Kara Tester out of North Carolina. Third place goes to Marcus Morais out of Texas. Second place goes to Ryan Morris out of South Carolina. And first place, no surprise, goes to John Hall out of North Carolina.
Yeah, great guy.
Now, here are the top recruiters. We had a ton of people in the recruiting mode last week. This is so exciting. Y'all need to know those recruiting numbers are looking good. You're going up and to the right.
Well, three tied for first place, right?
They did. Right. Simon Utsalo out of North Carolina, Ryan Morris out of South Carolina, and Daisy and Jerome Ferret out of South Carolina. All tied for first place on the team last week in recruiting. And now here are the level advancements. This is so awesome because there are three new senior associates who are going to be able to, hopefully they did it in the timeline for them to be able to participate in reaching the manager level to get a bonus. So these are the three new senior associates that are on their way to manager. Simon Utsalo out of North Carolina. Michelle DeMarco out of Ohio. Ryan Morris out of South Carolina.
And three brand new directors, I see.
Yes, we do. Arcus Frierson out of South Carolina is a new director, James McIver, as well as out of North Carolina, and Michael Reeves out of Nebraska. Congratulations for all of you upranking. And this week, I've already seen some numbers, and that it's going to be more exciting than last week. And we do know Christmas is around the corner, so it's so important that you set your goals. Please, you know, I know all of us at one time in our life, probably more than once, have scrambled on the last day of the month to get that last performance club point, the last executive director point, whatever. So please mentally do that scrambling by this Friday, whatever it is. Just
get it out of the way.
Set yourself an early date to do the scramble. And that way you're not going to be at the end of the month, you know, really scrambling.
Yeah, and I think home, we're going to end this call right now, but I think homework would be to, you know, get that portable book of business and start putting it together. And it was one of the best mindsets I've heard about in a long time. If you're going to grow a big business, you need a big list. That is your inventory. So, you know, how many hundreds of people are you going to call this week that you haven't called yet?
And by the way, those invitation trainings that you just heard from Kaylin, and those come right out of the GoPro book that we just read. So if you didn't take notes fast enough, go back to the GoPro book. They're following that practically to the T, and it's working, fellas. It is working, and gals, it is working. So let's do it.
Yeah, you definitely, if you want to get that pipeline filled and you just have people coming, you know, that way if you have three people on the list and two say no, you're scrambling, to, you know, you're just dead in the water. But if you have hundreds, you're not trying to sell. You're just sorting through people and just keep adding to that portable book of business. So
Mr. Kaylin Blanchard, congratulations again for hitting executive director for the first time. We're proud of you. I want to see it many more times and straight up the ladder.
Yeah, and Justin, thank you so much for the book review. And Tommy Neal, thank you for hosting. And thank each and every one of you being on the call. We're going to cut this one short tonight and say what? Good night?
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. Let's get it done.
Whatever you got to do, get it done. Talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.